Well, in the Girls State Golf Championships yesterday, Atlantic made it 2 out of 3. They've won 2 of the last 3 Class 3A State Golf Championships as the Trojans picked up a victory yesterday, winning by 40 strokes in the 3A Championships up in Ames. Atlantic shot a 337 second day total, and that gave them a 696 2-day score. And that was easily better than Clear Lake's 736. They were the runners-up. Centerville was third. Shenandoah shot 750 for the 2 days, and they are fourth in the 8 teams. Individually, Emily Snelling of Clear Lake had an incredible tournament. She shot a 67 yesterday. She was 4 under par in her second round yesterday. That round included 2 eagles, as she ended up 2 under for the 2-day tournament with a 140 total. Brooke Newell of Atlantic also had a pretty good day yesterday. She shot 2 under par yesterday in her final round, improving her first round to second round score by 16 strokes as she shot a 12 over par 154, and that was easily good for second place. Erin Olson also had a nice second-day bounce back after a 90 in her opening round. She shot 79, improving by 11 strokes yesterday to shoot a 169 score. Bailey Newell of Atlantic tied for 22nd overall, shooting a 188, while Alyssa Ginther and Sarah Fixmer each tied for 26th, shooting 190s over the 2 days. Shenandoah's Anna Carlson was their team leader, shooting a 176. Kemper Catholic was led by Allison Schwiers, who had a 179. And Grace Davidson of Clarinda tied for 8th overall, shooting a 176 over the 2 days in that tourney in Ames. The Atlantic girls winning the state championship for the second time in the last 3 years. Also up in Ames, the Class 4A State Golf Championship went to Washington. They shot 715. That was 17 strokes better than Fairfield, who was the runner-up. Creston placed 5th overall. Sarah Nakos of Washington had a 9-stroke victory, shooting a 154 2-day total individually. Ashton Carter helped lead Creston, shooting a 182 over the 2 days. Madison Hance, a 188. She was tied for 15th overall for Creston. Class 1A was held up at Jester Park in Granger, and it was New London winning the team title easily with a 666 2-day total. Akron Westfield with a 740 was the runner-up. Boyer Valley placed 5th overall. Samantha Knight of West Monona was the individual medalist with a 5-stroke victory after shooting a 6 over 146. Matea Peters of Griswold placed 18th in a tie overall after she shot 91 and 97 in her second day, 188, her 2-day total. Also at Jester Park, the 2A championship saw Alta Aurelia win the title as they shot a 674 2-day total. Trainer had 703 strokes over the 2 days, good for a second place finish. Allie Anderson of Trainer is a state champion. She is the 2A medalist, as Anderson shoots an 80 and then a 77 yesterday in the final round for a 15 over par 157. And Anderson wins the 2A medalist award, beating Annika Patton of Alta Aurelia by 3 strokes. Individually, in addition to Anderson for Trainer, Madeline Ditchler and Kayla Chapman each were very good, as Chapman shot a 180, Ditchler a 184 over the 2 days, McKenna Waffle a 182 over those 2 days, and Randy Robinson a 187 to help out the Trainer effort. Also in 5A, Cedar Falls wins the team championship. Tenley Moretti of Ankeny Centennial is the overall medalist in 5A. In Major League Baseball action yesterday, Zach Davies had a career-high 9 strikeouts over 8 innings as he threw a shutout over those 8 innings, and the Brewers averted a 3-game sweep with a 3-1 win over the St. Louis Cardinals yesterday. Davies allowed 3 hits and retired 13 in a row to finish the longest outing of his young career before he left. For Jeremy Jeffress, the closer gave up a pinch-hit solo homer to Brandon Moss before retiring the final 3 batters for his 13th save. Davies, a 23-year-old right-hander, didn't allow a runner to reach second and frustrated the Cardinals with his changeup and cut fastball. He struck out the side in the 8th to draw a standing ovation from an appreciative hometown crowd. The Brewers scratched out a couple of runs in the 1st off of Jaime Garcia and added insurance with Martin Maldonado's solo homer in the 6th inning. Elsewhere in the National League yesterday, Washington beat Philadelphia 7-2. It was Atlanta over San Francisco in 11 innings, 5-4. Miami beat Pittsburgh 3-2. Chicago over the Dodgers 2-1. Cincinnati beat Colorado 7-2. In the American League, Danny Duffy pitched 6 effective innings, and rookie Whit Merrifield had 2 hits and scored a run as the Kansas City Royals beat the Tampa Bay Rays 6-3 last night, completing a 6-0 homestand. The last time the Royals had a homestand of 6-0 or better was June 2nd through the 8th in 1988, when they went 7-0. Duffy yielded 3 runs and 7 hits while walking no one and striking out 6 over 6 innings, his longest outing since moving into the rotation on May 15th. Royals relievers Joakim Soria, Kelvin Herrera, and Wade Davis held the Rays scoreless over the final 3 innings. Davis picked up his 16th save, but not before walking one, giving up a hit, and uncorking a wild pitch. Merrifield has hit in his first 11 career starts, and that's a Royals record. Elsewhere in the AL yesterday, Oakland beat Minnesota 5-1, Cleveland over Texas in 11 innings 5-4, Detroit down the LA Angels 3-0. It was Baltimore outslugging Boston 13-9, and Toronto shut down the Yankees 7-0. In interleague play, the White Sox beat the Mets in 13 innings 2-1. Houston needed 11 innings to beat Arizona 5-4, and it was San Diego topping Seattle by a final of 14-6. Cleveland outfielder Marlon Byrd has been suspended 162 games by baseball for a second violation of baseball's drug policy. Byrd tested positive for a growth hormone. Byrd was first suspended for 50 games in the 2012 season. Kansas City All-Star third baseman Mike Moustakas is going on the operating table. Chris Young is going into the Kansas City Royals rotation. Brett Eibner is going on the disabled list. And Dylan G is going to AAA Omaha. Moustakas, who tore his right ACL in a May 22nd collision with teammate Alex Gordon, will undergo season-ending surgery today. Well, the Pittsburgh Penguins are halfway to their second Stanley Cup since 2009. Connor Sheary scored at 2:35 into overtime to give the Penguins a 2-1 victory over San Jose and a 2-0 series lead in the Stanley Cup Finals. Phil Kessel's 10th postseason goal gave the Penguins an early 1-0 lead, but the Sharks tied it on Justin Braun's goal with just 4:05 left in regulation. Game number 2s of the Stanley Cup Final have traditionally been pivotal, and lately 3 periods haven't been enough. The team that's won the second game of the 7-game series has ended up hoisting the cup nearly 74% of the time since 1939, when the final expanded to its current format. Well, Big 12 Commissioner Bob Bowlsby says he's going to push conference leaders to make a decision one way or the other on the lingering issues of expansion, a football championship game, and a league network by the end of the summer. Athletic directors spent about 90 minutes during the league's spring meetings Wednesday in what were termed philosophical discussions about those topics. The final decisions will be made by the 10-team league's board of directors, comprised of school presidents and chancellors. That group, which includes 3 interim presidents, will join the conference meetings Thursday and Friday and will have a significant amount of data to consider this week and into the summer. Faculty athletic representatives deadlocked 5-5 regarding a change in a league rule that would have given former Texas Tech walk-on quarterback Baker Mayfield an extra season of eligibility at Oklahoma. Baylor will be the first Big 12 team to kick off this season. The conference on Wednesday announced its television selections for the first 3 weeks of the football season, along with some other selected games. The Bears' opener and first game under acting head coach Jim Grobe was moved up a day to September 2nd. That's a Friday night home game against Northwestern State on FSN. The Big 12's opening weekend will wrap up with a Sunday night primetime game, September 4th, when ABC broadcasts Texas hosting Notre Dame. When the Longhorns play Oklahoma on October 8th, that game will be televised by Fox Sports 1. The Red River Shootout game during the Texas State Fair had long been a fixture on ABC or on ESPN. That's Check of Sports this hour, brought to you by Marnie Elkhorn Telephone Company. Check with them for complete internet hookup. I'm Jim Field, KJAN Sports.